We have been saying for some time that 2025 would likely be an excellent agricultural season for South Africa. And I think the data that we received this past week from South Africa Wines and Vinpro, that's the wine producers of South Africa, confirms that. Our colleagues in the wine industry tell us that their overall output this year, the wine grape harvest, will likely be up by 11% from last year. And yes, I know that they had a poor crop in 2024, but a recovery double digit at 11% is something that makes one look up and say, look, we are actually in a recovery space. They forecast the harvest at about 1.244 million tons. So 1.2 million tons of the wine grape. But I think it doesn't end there, because in their statement, they elaborate and they say, look, we have a premium production that is coming up this year. The weather conditions were perfect and they ensured that the crop will ripen well. So they are looking to have an excellent crop. I guess then that with an excellent crop that we are expecting, and of course recovery in volume, we only remain with 2 points, which are in line with some of the themes that we have discussed for quite some time, which is that of the export markets and the logistics. So if the wine producers have the crop, have their product, then we have to ensure that the logistics in the Western Cape, they are up on top notch so that we can be able to facilitate the export activity. This also speaks then again to the importance of the US market, because you've heard me mention several times that while the US is about 4% of the overall agricultural exports in South Africa, there are certain subsectors where the U.S. is important in. And I'm thinking here the wine industry, nuts, citrus, grapes are some of those products where you know that they dominate that basket that go to the U.S. And by the way, this is no small figure, because if you look at South African exports to the U.S., you are looking at just under $500 million. And thinking, considering the fact that it's also concentrated in certain commodities and provinces, so this makes it super important. So that's the one aspect to say we can continue with those negotiations of easing up the market in the U.S. because we do have the crop now that we'll be able to be putting out to market. The second aspect, of course, is the fact that the wine industry has been for some time, even before the U.S. story, been vocal about the idea of saying, let's widen the export market. And I think they are right to always be vocal on that. And of course, supported by us at the Agricultural Business Chamber and the other associations, AgriSA and the others. Because if you think about the South African export product list, wine is amongst the top 10. Consider 2024, our exports were at a record $13.7 billion, up 3% from the previous year. And yes, 2024 had its fair share of challenges. We were hit by midsummer drought, animal diseases, but we still managed to achieve the robust exports in part because of the excellent fruit harvest, wine, and a little bit of a recovery in the red meat industry towards the end of the year. Now, the product list for last year was largely at the top: citrus, maize, apples and pears, wine, nuts, fruit juices, berries, dates, pineapples, avocados. So those are type of products that we were sending to the world market. And yes, the wine is on top of is amongst those top products, which is why then this whole idea of saying let's broaden the export markets. And one of the markets that the colleagues in the wine industry have for a long time looked at is, of course, China. And China is a big and a growing market. You think about the population, you think about the income, everyone wants to be in China. But I think it's not beyond that. I mean, if you think about the global agricultural imports, China is quite sizable. They account for about 11% of global agricultural imports. So you want to be in China. But of course, South Africa has not participated aggressively in China in all products. We do have some products that we export. Some face tariffs. The wine industry is one of those, because whatever wine we send to China faces relatively higher duties compared to our competitors in there. Australia and Chile, for example, are some of our competitors, and they have a preferential access in China, which means that now they face zero tariffs, while South Africa faced the most favored nation duties. And the most favored nation duties in China are fairly high. They are at 14%. In South Africa, you know that our MFN duties are at 7.6%. So China is double the duties that we have. So If South Africa is to see aggressive access to the Chinese market for wine and the other products, we really have to ensure that the duties that are there are removed. And I think this is why then you've always heard us emphasize China. But I think there's also been a mistake where whenever we talk about China, especially in today's environment, people start saying, okay, yes, let's go to China so that the Americans, we can lessen the dependence on that. And I think that there's no issue of actually substituting the U.S. With China. It's rather broadening and making sure that we access all of these markets. We do want to engage the U.S. and strengthen our access there. China, deepen our access, lower the tariffs, but also retain the market that we have in other regions. I'm thinking here the EU, the UK, the African continent. Those are some of our markets. And this applies, by the way, not only to the wine industry, but broadly across the agricultural sector of South Africa, which is on this journey of opening up as many export markets as we can, so that as our production improves, we are able to access all of these markets. And of course, this wine recovery story in production size, I think for me, it displays the biggest story of what we are seeing in agriculture in general, to say, okay, this is a better year. This is a recovery period that we are in. Because I've said, for example, in the previous week, that if you were to look at our grain production, we are seeing a 16% recovery in grain production. Yes, it's not equal to the decline that we saw, because last year, our overall grain production, I think we were down by 21%, but now we are recovering at a much softer pace at about 16%. I think the overall crop is at 18 million tons. But this is still way above the long-term averages, and it's still an excellent crop, because I think we have gotten used to the years of bumper crops that were juiced up by the La Nina in the grain space now, to the extent that we have forgotten that, you know, the long-term averages are below these levels. So for me, when I look at this, I see it as almost like really typifying the story that we have been talking about of a recovery in South African agriculture, primarily supported by the favorable weather conditions. Because when you talk to the wine growers and the wine producers, they tell you, yes, they are expecting an excellent quality in 2025. And that excellent quality is made possible by the better and the favorable production conditions. And yes, in the grain industry, we started off thinking that the quality would be good, but we struggled, of course, in April with excessive rains that may have messed up the quality of the crop here and there. But I think the overall story remains, which is that of a recovery. We'll probably have more quality issues in the soybean areas, but I think overall on the other areas, we will pretty much be fine. We will know more about what the quality of the maize crop looks like as the harvest gains momentum. My sense is that we will gain momentum somewhere around about June, because this week that we're starting now, it's a Nampo week. People will be in Butterville spending a lot of time at Nampo. I don't think that there will be a lot of activity in the fields, but I think the week after Nampo, then folks will be back in the fields, and of course, we'll see then the activity. And in fact, the week that we are in Nampo also allows time in the fields to dry up following these excessive rains that we have experienced. So this is in a period that I think for me is still fairly fine. The only thing that we are praying and hoping it doesn't happen on maize is that we don't get frost. Because of course, if you do get frost, that can complicate some challenges. But we haven't had frost for quite some time. So I'm hoping that we will pretty much be sailing quite smoothly in our production on that end. Now, the other fruit, thinking about the citrus, thinking about the table grape and all of that, the message that we are receiving even from them is that this is a fantastic year in terms of a harvest. And everyone, of course, as we've repeated in the previous podcast, it has been focused primarily on the issue of trade and opening up markets, ensuring that the logistics are fine. But in terms of the crop quality, even on citrus and the other fruits, we are sitting fairly well. There is, though, one challenge in South Africa, which is the animal diseases. We are not yet out of the woods on animal diseases. As I'm recording this, we continue to struggle with the foot and mouth disease in KZN, in parts of the Eastern Cape, to an extent that today, if you talk to farmers and you read the news in South Africa, you'll realize that there are certain markets where our exports have been temporarily suspended because of the risks, of course, that are associated with the foot and mouth disease. It's not like the countries are behaving in a way that perhaps maybe they shouldn't be doing. This is a normal thing. When there are foot and mouth disease, certain countries put temporary measures of suspension of the product until they show that the country is safe and cleared, and then it gets to be permitted again to resume the exports. So for the livestock industry, that's the challenge. It's largely concentrated in KZN, and there are parts of the Eastern Cape that are still having lingering cases. So that's the story. And my fear then is that that will undo the momentum that we're already starting to see in the red meat export side. And it speaks again to this idea that South Africa must invest more and more on animal health and controlling the spread of the animal diseases, because this is a major risk, and of course it brings significant costs to the industry. So this is something that we always worry about. So in our recovery journey this year, while we may see that recovery on grains and oilseeds, recovery in fruits, recovery in wine, I think in the livestock industry this will continue to be one of those challenges. And of course we hope that then the bans do not get to extend to wool, because the foot and mouth is not in the wool industry. It is in the livestock industry. And I'm hoping then that nothing gets to wool. And of course, 70% of our wool goes to China. And China knows that we have a protocol on how we handle the products that are exported to China to ensure that there are minimal risks. So that's something that we will be watching. That's something that, of course, we always worry about. And folks, with that, I think I should stop there. For people who are listening to this monologue for the first time, my name is Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. And you can read much of the stuff that I write in my Substack, wandile.substack, as also in my blog, wandilesihlobo.com. And huge thanks to the people that help in putting this together: Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelisiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba. You can follow me on socials at Wandile Sihlobo, and follow Kokeli Podcast across all socials, and of course our publisher, The Financial Mail. Thank you for listening.